Studio 360.
That connection between zombies and viruses is older than you probably think. There's a terrific book, came out a few years ago, about rabies, the uniquely deadly and terrifying virus. The book's called Rabid. The authors are Monica Murphy, who's a veterinarian, and her husband Bill Wasik, a writer who, years ago, more or less invented viral flash mobs. The two of them argue in Rabid that way before science explained what rabies was, people made rabies into folklore, into legends about creatures who bite you and make you one of them.
You know, we have no silver bullet to prove that these tropes came, you know, directly out of rabies. But it is sort of amazing, right, when you think about the vampire myth and the werewolf myth and the zombie myth, that they're all these odd sort of saliva-borne infections, right? And the way they manifest is this kind of animal essence emerging in the human being, this contagious animal essence. And rabies is really the only thing in nature that acts that way. And we also know that it is from the very beginning of human writing, we have references to rabies.
You even mentioned the Iliad as and Homer as apparently including references.
That's right. And, you know, one interesting thing that you see throughout history is with the words that we have for rabies. So in ancient Greek, the word lyssa, which was the medical term for rabies, appears in the Iliad in a number of places as this kind of insensate animal anger that can infect, you know, warriors on the battlefield and cause them to both commit incredible acts of martial bravery, but also lead them into such sort of a frenzy that they actually could become vulnerable.
So, Monica, you are the scientist in the room. Tell me about rabies. It is kind of uniquely scary, really.
That's true. Rabies, unlike other viruses, enters at the site of a bite wound and binds there to nerves endings that are present, you know, throughout our body. And once inside the nerve, it's able to creep up the nervous system into the brain. And the victim becomes transformed by the stimulation to that part of the brain. It becomes much bitier. And the virus, meanwhile, is replicating in the host's saliva so that it can ensure that transmission of the virus to the next victim.
Oh, so that's the foaming at the mouth thing is actually serves the purpose of transmission by having a lot of saliva there that will get into the wound.
Exactly. It's all sort of according to this diabolical plan.
I wonder if because people are aware of rabies, why the sort of zombie idea has gotten such traction in modern pop culture because, yeah, this could happen.
Well, the funny thing is if you look at the history of all these myths, the vampire myth, the werewolf myth, the zombie myth, they've actually gotten more rabid as time has gone on. And this, to me, is one of the interesting sort of cultural puzzles of thinking about the connection between these myths and rabies is that, you know, that the early vampire, right, is just the sort of the dead relative come back to life who often, you know, tries to smother you. You know, in the Eastern European tales, you know, you awake and find your dead relative on top of you trying to smother you to death. But then, you know, in the 19th century, in English vampire novels, that vampire starts to become a lot more animalistic. You know, he develops fangs and it becomes a contagious condition. It becomes sort of more rabid. And I think that what you see in pop culture today is whether it's the vampires in I Am Legend or it's the zombies in all these zombie movies is that we have all of these very, very rabid mythical creatures running around.
You paint this really graphic, horrific picture of Pasteur's lab as he was trying to figure this out where he kept rabid dogs. That was the only way he had to get their illness?
Oh, yes. I mean, Pasteur, a microbiologist, was used to being able to grow up the organisms he was interested in on a plate and looking at them under the microscope. When confronted with rabies, a organism that neither grew on plates nor could be seen through a microscope, Pasteur persevered. If he couldn't grow rabies on a plate, he'd grow it in dogs and rabbits and whatever other critters he could drag into the lab. And he was able to make a vaccine without having ever really gotten a handle on what a rabies is, what a virus is.
And as I recall the biopic, I don't remember the scenes of these angry, rabid, foaming at the mouth dogs being part of that movie. Maybe they should do a remake.
Yeah, really. You know, there are stories of people who observed Pasteur's lab where they actually saw him extract the saliva from the dog, right? His assistants are holding down the dog and he's extracting the rabid saliva with a pipette held in his mouth. I mean, this was a real high wire act.
Well, I think the first time as a child I was ever aware of rabies in an explicit way was reading To Kill a Mockingbird, and that was in the 1960s, but it was set 30 years earlier, and there's a rabid dog, and Atticus Finch has to shoot it. And while there were no rabid humans or vampires or zombies in that book, it seemed, thinking about it now in that context, as a metaphor for the, you know, animalistic primitive rage that was simmering in that town, maybe.
Well, sure, and it's also a metaphor for Atticus Finch, for the hero as a kind of tamer of animal instincts, as sort of the ultimate mark of the civilized person, of civilization, that you stare the rabid things of the world in the eye and you do what has to be done.
And then in Walking Dead, the boy has to shoot his mother because she's about to become a zombie.
I know. Well, I know. And it is especially funny in these zombie tales where that moment gets enacted over and over again, where you just have to roll your eyes and kill the person that you used to know because, well, they're a zombie now. It's life's tough for the non-zombies in the zombie world, universe.
Bill Wasik, Monica Murphy, thank you very much.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
Bill Wasik is deputy editor of the New York Times Magazine. Monica Murphy is a public health veterinarian. They are the co-authors of Rabid, a cultural history of the world's most diabolical virus.
Same dog bite you a morning, him will bite you a evening. So I'm once bitten and I'm twice shy. So please.